And now, Forward with Falk. Join Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen as they navigate their way through the political thicket. Dave, the Republicans in the House have begun their control of the House, begun to run the country the way they think it should be run. People are paying attention. Here's one of their prime examples. The guy named Comer from Kentucky. He's the head of the Oversight Committee. He was one of the people who sponsored a bill, the very first bill the Republicans took up in the House, to rescind the appropriation for the IRS. You remember the IRS got several billion-dollar appropriation.
Right.
Republicans went crazy because they're going to hire 87,000 cops to bang on your door and steal your couch. They're going to do all that. Of course, what the money really was for was to beef up customer service, because the IRS, the Republicans, cut 15% of its budget over the last few years, and it all went out of customer service. So they were going to beef up customer service. So the first week they were in power, Comer voted to cut the money for customer service. Last week, the same guy, this past week, stood up in the House and attacked the IRS for having rotten customer service. What, now, you're a political analyst. What do you make of that?
Well, logic and the Republican Party are not actually coextensive. You know, what they say and what they do increasingly fails to mesh. But it's about the sound bites and whatever. But this is the old Republican playbook. We defund, or we crippled by limiting funding of a government service or government agency that we don't like, and then we say we've got to get rid of it or privatize it, and this is the way they do things. It's with it's what they do with education tremendously.
Well, they do it all the time. They cut the money to go to the public schools and attack the public schools for not having any services. They don't teach the kids. The kids' results are bad. Meanwhile, there's no teachers because there's no money.
Right. And we've seen that since the pandemic, that there's a huge shortage of teachers in the country. And, of course, the other thing that they don't want is oversight. So when they funnel this money into the private education system, so much of it gets siphoned off by people at the top,
yep,
and doesn't go down to kids anyway. And that's a whole, that could take up a whole show to discuss things like that. This is what they do. Now, don't forget what the IRS, what they wanted to do was, number one, they have to modernize the computer system. Number two, they also wanted to concentrate the auditing process on the wealthy, rather than on the average person. We saw this week, I think a statistic came out that if you're black, you're three times more likely to be audited than if you're white, in percentage terms. It's just, that the Republicans don't want that to be corrected. Let's face it. So that's just typical.
But the idea of cutting things that don't, and making sure that they can't work because you don't fund them, and then saying, look, they don't work, let's get rid of it. That's one aspect of it. Another aspect of it is the kind of thing DeSantis does. You really think DeSantis gives a damn what they teach in school? I think all he cares about is that people should think he gives a damn, and especially that the evangelicals should think he gives a damn. I don't think he really cares one way or the other.
Well, he only cares about himself and power.
Yeah, exactly. He wants to be able to make the case that he's more fascistic than Trump.
Yeah. And it's all about the headline.
Yeah.
Because that's all the people care about, the short sound bite.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. And what he's doing in schools and what have you, you know, in the names of democracy, he's got a college down in Florida that he's replaced the the board of in order to stop them from teaching things he doesn't want to be taught.
This is a big college with 3,000 students. This is a tiny little school that was established as an alternative school for kids who were artistic, who were creative, who were, wanted to develop their education in the humanities. He treats it as if it were the bedrock of the public school system.
Yeah. And like somebody said, the only history he wants to teach is the history as taught by old white men about the races, you know. And
I object to being attacked. I don't want to be attacked.
Well,
it's not that they're all white men. It's that they're it's that they're apologists for the Confederacy. That's what he wants. He wants the teaching, which is an apology for the Confederacy. That is what he wants. And you could be black and do that, and young. You can be white and young. It doesn't matter who, you know, what you are. It's if you have those rotten ideas, that's what he promotes.
Yeah, and stifling other ideas.
Yeah.
I was disappointed this week. He went after the AP test that the Educational Testing Service has on African-American studies, and they backed down. They decided to delete just about anything that had any meaning to it. They should have gone after them. They should have said, you know, if you don't like what we teach, then we're not changing the curriculum. Then you just, then you just don't have the course. But we're not going to change our course and water it down. So
why did they water it down? Why do you think they did?
Because educators don't have a lot of guts. And, you know, you see it at colleges, some of the things that they do or where they back down on. You had that incident where the art teacher notified the class that one of the things that they were going to do was show a piece of art from the 14th century that depicted the Prophet Muhammad. And she told the students, you can opt out of that course if you're going to be offended. She warned them before she did it. And then she did it, and one of the students popped up and said, I'm offended, stayed in the course, and the school didn't back the teacher.
The school fired the teacher.
They fired the teacher, you know.
The school had to back down because thousands of professors throughout the country protested, and the students protested.
Yeah. Yeah, and you see that in a whole host of things. Remember in North Carolina?
But I don't think it's the teachers that you should blame. I think it's the administrators. I don't think any of the professors in Florida decided to water down the College Board recommendation. I think it was the administrators who did.
Yeah, I think you're right on that. I may have misspoken, but that's what I mean. Yeah, we have all of these middle managers in universities that clog up the system. Some schools have more people dealing with diversity than they have dealing with students at in counseling type of things. I was disappointed when Biden said that he was going to forgive the student loans, that he didn't come out at the same time and say, look, I'm going to form a commission to study the cost of colleges and universities, that it's gotten out of hand. I mean, that really needs to be curbed. The expenses where 1 year of school costs more than the average family makes in a year. You can't do that. You can't have that. And of course now, people are opting out of schools. College in some places, the college enrollment is down significantly. It varies from place to place, but we're still seeing that. But that's not a good thing either. Uneducated people. And that's not to say that people who don't go to college don't have skills or don't have abilities should not be encouraged to follow what they want to do. But we still have things like learning that's important.
But, you know, ask yourself this question. If in high school and in the grades leading up to high school, you're not taught geography, you're not taught economics, and now you're not going to be taught American history.
Right.
What does it mean that you go to college? College becomes a high school.
Yeah. Yeah.
And for that, you get to pay $70,000 a year.
Yeah. And
the Republicans will tell you it shouldn't be free. It should be you should have to pay for it. So in other words, you pay taxes to get to have your kids badly educated, maleducated, uneducated, and then the kids have to go into debt for the rest of their lives, because that's what it amounts to overcome that. And you have more reactionary saying, well, don't go to college anyway. So you end up with a group of people who are denied education in the primary years and are told you don't need any education in your adult years.
And then,
what a civilization they propose.
Well, remember that the base of the Republican Party now is the non-college educated white males.
I don't say you need to go to college to have culture or to have common sense or to be able to solve problems or to make great inventions or to create works of art. I mean, most people who do all of that never did go to college. But going to get an education doesn't mean you're bad, which is what the Republicans imply. The striving for an education marks you as somehow suspect in the eyes of the reactionaries who hate knowledge, hate science, and, you know, want to complain about people who have knowledge and who try to use their knowledge. These people are a group of people who have a cult of ignorance and brutality, and that's what they promote.
Yeah, cult is a good word for it. Cult is a good word for it.
Getting back to the Republicans and their hypocrisy, you know, Scott, Republican Senator Scott of Florida, made a big mistake a few months ago. He talked about how Medicare and Medicaid and Social Security should be privatized, and everybody yelled at him. But this week, Pence came out for privatizing Social Security. Nobody's yelled at Pence.
Yep. Well, it's because most people aren't paying attention to him at this point. But again, this should be on the list of things that the Democrats should be yelling about and attacking the Republicans on, because it becomes an attack on the Republican base. Again, when I say older white males, but those guys want their Social Security. They want their Medicare. Those are popular programs. The Republicans never give up on it. They want to negotiate on this stuff, you know, gradual. If they can't get it in one fell swoop, they want to gradually take it down.
That's right, but they do want to take it down.
Yes. Yeah. Make it a line item on the budget, what have you. You know, complain about the debt that they created and then say, well, we got to cut the things that we don't like, because we created the debt.
That's right.
Again, it's their game plan. It's their playbook.
So what are the Democrats going to do about it? What can Biden do about it? Is Biden the guy to fight it? Is he the best guy the Democrats can put up to defeat this? After all, we're going to have 2 years of this now, right? You can't imagine that the Democrats by the administration are going to have any kind of legislative victories. The Republicans will prevent it in the House. So what he can do by executive action, that's one thing. What he could do by with appointing judges, that's another thing. But fundamentally, he has to make a case. He has to lay the basis for a very difficult Senate election in 2024 and a very difficult presidential election at the same time. Is he the guy who can do it? What do you think?
I think that he's better than anybody else that's emerging on the Democratic Party at this point. And they're all, none of them are really positioning themselves on that. I mean, if he were tomorrow to say, I'm not running, you'd probably have a host of people, but I'm not, you'd have Kamala Harris and Pete Buttigieg. I think Amy Klobuchar would be in a second. The Democratic bench has gotten better because they've had some victories in the states. Remember, they were wiped out after 2010. They didn't have a bench, which is why you wound up with you know, Bernie Sanders, Joe Biden, and Hillary Clinton, in essence, leading the way, and Nancy Pelosi style people. Now they have some of the governors and who are working through things, and we'll see what happens. You have Governor of Michigan, Josh Shapiro, is just too soon for, although he's positioning himself. And we'll see how he does. You have the governor of Colorado, but not all of them are liberal. You know, we're seeing the problems that Kathy Hochul has in New York State. Tremendous problems.
But they're all of her own making.
Yes, which means she's not that smart a politician.
Right, but she's not running for president. So
she's not
barely able to be governor.
Yeah, yeah. And we'll have to see. You know, the Republican bench is kind of crazy, too. You have Chris Sununu, who probably could have been elected to the Senate. He decided to stay as New Hampshire governor. I've seen him on television praising all the taxes that they don't have in New Hampshire, which is, it's catnip to the Republicans. But, of course, no one ever asks him, well, how many aircraft carriers in the New Hampshire Navy do you have? Yeah. It's a small state that doesn't need a lot of money to run, and people don't expect much up there.
They don't get much.
They don't get much. They don't get much. But then again, he's been a critic of Donald Trump, saying, you know, he thought he was effing crazy. And then this week he was asked if he'd vote for him again if he's the nominee, and he said yes. That's the sickness.
But there's a man of backbone. There's this guy.
Yeah. Larry Hogan, who's probably the most liberal of the Republican governors, a very popular governor in Maryland, who's thinking of running. He was asked the same question, and he dodged it. He said, I don't think Trump is going to be the nominee, so we don't have to worry about that. But he wasn't very unequivocal about things. He was hedging. And remember Bill Barr said all these bad things about Trump and this or that, and that's what you vote for him again? And he said yes. That's the thing, until Trump gets off the stage, they can't seem to move forward, but they don't want to move forward. They want to move backward. And they're so out of touch with the American people. Did you see this week that there's that member of Congress who's passing out assault rifle lapel pins?
Yeah, he's a guy from Florida.
Yeah.
He's the same guy that brought hand grenades into the House to give out his gifts.
Yeah, just whatever. J.D. Vance took a picture this week with an assault rifle. These things, when 75 or 80% of the American people want better controls on that stuff. They're way out of sync with the American people on the abortion issue. They're trying to pass things to control women's lives. You get DeSantis again down in Florida, wants people to, women or girls, to register their menstrual cycles.
Because they mean to keep track of everything that anybody who's a woman does to make sure that they don't have or aren't recovering from an abortion.
Yeah, and they may have.
So it goes way beyond. I mean, when people say, the government shouldn't be involved in my health care, they don't want to be involved in your health care. They want to be involved in your life. They want to regulate every aspect of your life.
Well, they also want to, now that they've stopped abortion and so many states, they want to stop the pill that people can get from a pharmacy or order online.
Therefore, they have to track everything you get from the pharmacy, right?
Right. Right.
These are libertarians. Right? They claim to be libertarians.
Well, we're back to the hypocrisy. It's just about power. They're doing it because they can. We're seeing and they've locked in a way to maintain power. We've talked about North Carolina endlessly, and this week, the new Republican Supreme Court in North Carolina has decided to grant the legislature's petition to review two rulings of the previous Supreme Court. In other words, stare decisis has lasted less than 2 years there. And they're going to overturn the decision that the gerrymandering was racist and the voter ID laws. They're going to just say, okay, we're in power now, so we're going to let the legislature, you know, take away all power of the Democrats and maintain their hold no matter how many people vote Democratic in the state.
Well, once again, the question comes up. You've asked this question before. If the Republicans play by the rules of power and the Democrats play by the Marquess of Queensbury rules, who's the fool?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the conundrum. Now you get back to Biden. He's been doing pretty well by playing Marquess of Queensbury, so to speak. He's got some opportunities, and when the election comes around, he's got some opportunities now. The Republicans are the contrast and compare issue is there. You know, people may not like Biden that much, or they don't dislike him. They may think he's too old, but when they're confronted with the opposite side, what's the alternative? That's where Biden comes out. It's better to have some old doddering guy than some young guy who's going to be a disaster. And that's where they have to frame it, in essence.
That's hardly an inspiring campaign slogan. My old doddering guy is better than your disaster.
Well, I think they could frame it a little bit better than that. Look at this week. I mean, Biden got more ammunition. 517,000 new jobs. An unemployment rate that hasn't been this low since 1969, when we had guns and butter going for us during the height of the Vietnam War. 3.4%. The only thing is that people aren't feeling it in their bones.
Well, that's true. It's true, right? I mean, prices are high, right?
Inflation is high. This week I went to a Burger King to grab a fish sandwich, and small fries and small Coke, and it was over $10.
So what's the point? I mean, you have 517,000 new jobs this week. Fantastic. But the people who are working turn around and say, what's going on here? You know that there's a wave of unionization, that the growth in jobs is in the service industries, and especially the hospitality industry, and places in that industry are looking to unionize. So workers are dissatisfied because it's not easy to unionize. In fact, it's damn hard to unionize, and yet these people are doing it. So they don't feel that the economy is great. The economists may say it's great, but if it doesn't seem to be great, it doesn't go down as being great, right?
Yeah, perception is more than reality.
So what do the Democrats got to do to make people feel that it's great? It seems to me they got to do something that helps working people.
Yeah. That's why Bernie was always successful.
That's right.
People understood where he stood. Although Tim Ryan tried that in Ohio and it didn't work.
Well, what if it doesn't work for one or another election cycle?
That's the thing. You're right. You remember my first rule of politics is you got to think long term.
Yeah, you got to keep at it. Right.
You got to keep at it. People have to hear it constantly.
That's right. In the beginning, people don't believe it. This can't happen. This could never happen. And in the beginning, it can't happen. Because in the beginning, you're just trying to gather forces to have enough forces to make it happen. But if you don't keep saying, this is what we need to do, join me so we can do it, nobody will join you. The Democrats don't do that. That's not the Democratic DNA. The Democrats are, used to be. I used to be 18.
Do you remember that far back?
No. But I know it as a matter of history, but I have to read up on it.
Yeah, well, but the Republicans won't let you study history.
That's right. They don't want you to study history. But right, am I wrong or am I right? If you don't struggle for it, it never happened. In the beginning, you're in the minority. If you're trying to change something, by nature, you're starting out in the minority. You're outgunned. It takes a while to get people to go along with you, and it takes a longer while to become effective politically.
Yeah. Well, look at how long it took for women's suffrage.
That's right. That's right. Went to jail.
Yeah, look how long it took for the Civil Rights Act, 100 years after the Civil War.
The Civil Rights Act has yet to bring about civil rights. Right? We have Northern schools more segregated than before Brown versus Board of Education. That's a fact. Go to any metropolitan school district. The schools are segregated. They're not segregated by law. They're segregated by custom, by housing.
By housing.
Yeah. But they're segregated.
Yeah.
You don't have lynching the way you had in the South and in the Midwest in the first parts of the 20th century, but you certainly have, we have 1,000 people killed per year by police, 1,000 civilians killed per year by police forces, almost all of them unnecessarily, almost all of them atrocities, lynchings of a sort. Where's the Civil Rights Act? So, things take time. Things take organizing. Things take constant pressure, right?
Yeah, that's what it does. And that's what the Republicans did with the abortion issue.
But the Democrats aren't doing it. We're looking to the Democrats to be the counter to the Trumps of this world. But they don't seem to be doing it.
Yeah, and the other problem, of course, is the money that's on the other side.
Yeah, but the Democrats have money.
Bernie
was able to raise $100 million, right?
Yeah, $100 million today is nothing.
You know what? It does a lot. I ran a campaign, a countywide campaign, 4 candidates. We spent a total of $18,000. We even got elected
on a local.
$100 million, a lot of money
on a national scale.
We're not at a national scale. We're not planning to win the presidency. We don't have that strength. We can't control the state legislatures.
But that requires organization.
But $100 million can pay for that organization.
It's got to pay for more than the organization. The organization's got to know how to spend that money.
No, I understand that. But I'm just saying, you can't say there's lack of resources, because given the state of what we have to deploy, we have enough resources. We have to get stronger. We have to get bigger. That's what I'm saying. I don't see the Democrats have a plan for that.
We'll find out.
Meanwhile, so far, it's the USA, the GOP way, right?
That's at least what they're trying.
That's what they're trying.
What the people want it or not.
Right, exactly. Whether the people want it or not. There's a world out there that can be won. There's a country out there that wants to be organized. And it's up to people to do it. The opportunity is there. Anyway, that's it for this week.
This week we have the State of the Union.
Tuesday we have the State of the Union.
And we have those 3 Pennsylvania legislative elections.
Yeah, but that's so complicated that we need to speak about that separately. We can't just throw it in next week. Right, exactly.
That'll be next week.
Because that's some story.
It is. It's an ongoing story with a lot of twists and turns.
All right. See you next week.
We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Forward with Falk. Longtime Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen discuss politics. Join them again next week. Same time, same place.